Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Got 7:03 on the clock, a little early. You got your host, James J. Mill, up behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And Seth Hatbagger.
Good morning, everyone.
We hope you're having a great start to your Thursday. Happy Friday Eve, everybody, on this March 2nd. We got some good stuff lined up for you. We're going to actually start off our show with a bunch of things to look forward to in March. We're going to dive into that in just a little bit. We've also got a good one about TikTok and how long they're going to allow kids to use it going forward.
Okay.
The Tooth Fairy's payouts. How much was the Tooth Fairy kicking out this year? We're going to find out how that went. Terry and I yesterday were getting into some new words that were added to the dictionary.com. Merriam-Webster has got some news for us as well.
Okay.
So we'll keep up that kind of theme going. America's least favorite month. We're going to talk about that. I am not alone. We got that coming up right now. Melissa and I the other day, Seth, were getting into these strange laws. It's Pam's fault. She sent me down a rabbit hole with strange laws and everything. Melissa and I got up to about like 11.
Oh, wow.
So we got a bunch more to get to. We're going to do that to kick off the 8 o'clock hour. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to kick that off with our good friends over at the Southwood County Humane Society. Mm-hmm. We've got our Pet of the Week coming up at 9 o'clock. Looking forward to that. A big shout out to, of course, Madison and the gang over at the Southwood County Humane Society, as, of course, our sponsors, Gray Services. Gray Services, caring service with high quality auto repairs, proudly NAPA Gold certified. You can count on locally owned Gray Services at 621 Pepper Avenue, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. All that coming up for you with a little bit of entertainment news in the 9 o'clock hour, and I think a fun that ain't right story. We usually just pick on people. Let's pick on everybody. I've got 15 silly myths that people still believe. We'll get into that.
Let's explode some myths today.
Yes, that'll be our That Ain't Right story today, along with some good stuff. And, of course, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club in the 8 o'clock hour. Looking forward to all of that. How is everybody doing this morning? Melissa, how are you in Abbotsford?
Oh, you know, I'm awake. I didn't drink coffee this morning, so I'm not as peppy as I want to be. Oh. But I am awake.
I can relate to this. I had this happen the other day.
I saw it happen. I witnessed you melt down when you picked up your coffee cup and realized it was empty.
It's rough. It's rough. It, the other part of it that bothered me, I noticed as I was going along and everything with it, that I didn't like that it bothered me. I didn't like that it threw my day off and everything. I don't like having things having control over me, and I didn't like that. So I am not going to put the audience through me trying to wean off coffee. That seems like a very aggravated morning show. That doesn't seem like the kind of morning show is going to really hit the ratings real high. But I am trying to kind of nurse myself off air, when I'm bopping through that last bit of the morning. I'd say 10 to noon, I may grab another cup. And then, every once in a while I'll have one at night or right during a class or something like that. But I've done pretty good. I've been pulling back on the coffee for years. That's reminded me that maybe I could do a little bit more because that bothered me. We will do our best to keep you peppy and awake, Melissa.
Oh, good.
I think some of the topics we got today might help a little bit.
I appreciate that.
Otherwise, if you need a nap, it's okay. It's just tell Seth and I.
Start talking about sports. Yes.
we can help you out with that. We might be able to do that.
Yeah.
We're glad you're with us, Mel. Oh, as always, glad you're with us.
Glad to be here.
Seth, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. It's getting to that time of year where the sun is coming out earlier, and that is always a good thing for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the morning. Yep. For sure.
We actually want to start off our show with a good story of the day. This comes to us from one of our amazing listeners, the best listeners in radio. I show up this morning and I look in the conference room and there's a bunch of cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Woohoo!
And this note, thank you for continuing to announce birthdays and anniversaries. I enjoy listening to WFHR mostly mornings with mornings for many years ongoing. I feel blessed with having a local radio station with local news. And we want to thank Diane Blanchard for this. Diane, longtime fan of ours, friend of ours, family. We appreciate
thank you,
that, Diane. Also, incredible baker.
Yeah.
God, Diane's great. Like,
you
guys
better save me some cookies. Mm, that's all I got to say.
Well, you're going to be back next Tuesday. No,
oh, boy.
Forget it.
Yeah. Mel, I would love to lie to you. I'd love to lie to the audience and tell you. Well, hopefully. Actually, you know what I'll do? I'll put a couple aside for you, and I'll put them in the fridge.
There you go.
I'll put it, that's
there
the only. The, if they're in the refrigerator, that I actually leave alone. If you
don't
want anything
look at
to be
it.
Safe, I don't touch things in the refrigerator.
You can't see it.
I don't know what it is, but yeah, I've always been even at like my folks' house or my Nana Papa's house. I live with my Nana Papa for like a year and a half and was still asking them if I could grab water and stuff. And maybe the only time I've seen my Nana aggravated, Jimmy, just grab the water. Like, just quit asking. Just do it.
Just open the fridge.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for starting off our day good, as our listeners always do. We appreciate you guys out there. Let's dive into a bunch of things to look forward to in March. We do this at the beginning of every month, kind of go look ahead and see things that are fun to look forward to, like daylight saving time, and while we have it. I don't know how much longer we're going to have this.
Yeah.
It starts up again on March 12th, and there's a chance we'll never fall back again. The Senate passed the Sunshine Protection Act last year to make daylight saving time permanent. But the House still needs to sign off, and so does President Biden, and we know how politics go, so we'll talk to you in 2026.
Yeah.
When there's a whole new, you know, there might be a new administration or something like that, so then it might even be out, that it may not be 20 years, I don't know.
Push back again.
Who knows?
Thanks for getting stuff done on a timely, in a timely fashion.
Yeah.
See what I did there with time? Okay.
Sun protection.
Worked on that
I
one.
I didn't realize the sun needed protection.
Some of the bill names.
Jeez.
Are just the most ridiculous, like self-important kind of, like, can we just call it what it is?
Yeah.
Trying to be so wordy about things. And that's coming from me. You know, the guy, that's really bad if that's coming from me. The Oscars are coming up on March 12th. It's been almost a year since the whole incident that actually the first time that the Oscars were relevant in probably a decade or two.
How long has it been? Yeah, really?
Yeah. Again, I vote on these things. It's my wheelhouse, and I'm telling you that. Do either of you have any interest in this? And none personal, Seth, but I'm very curious if Melissa is. Mel, are you?
Nope.
Yeah. I kind of thought so, but I didn't want to assume. But so that's why
I don't
asked.
Watch any of that stuff.
I didn't. I
hardly watch movies, guys. Come on.
That's true.
I've paid attention to that over the year or so that we've been working together, and I remember you mentioning that last year. But I didn't. I ask because I'm trying to show a little bit of a quick survey here. To the Academy.
Sure.
That was hoping that this was going to bring people like Melissa to want to watch the Oscars. Melissa's answer to that. No.
When you guys started talking about an incident, I don't know, this was maybe a week or 2 weeks ago that happened at the Oscars, I literally had to look it up. Like, what happened last year? I know there was something, but I don't remember. Oh, yeah.
There it was. No, I remember. No,
that
I remember.
Whole thing.
That whole thing, you know.
March Madness is just 2 weeks away.
All right.
The men's tournament starts up on March 14th, and the championship is April 3rd. The women's tournament starts March 15th, and the final is set for April 2nd. The men's, women's bracket is a little more chalk. It looks like South Carolina should run game with that one.
Yeah.
Connecticut, not what it used to be and everything, and a shout-out to the Gamecocks out there. It's a really fun team to watch. On the men's side, Melissa knows as well as the rest of us who's going to win this thing. Like, Mel, you don't know. You have darn
clue. Yeah, it's going to be Arizona.
See, it might as well be. Might as well. Because, I mean, nobody knows. They're playing hot potato with the number one seed right now. Purdue's got it. I don't want this. You take it. I'm going to lose. It just keeps happening. I've never seen a March Madness or a college basketball season this in flux. This where... Usually, every year, Mel, they'll name four teams as the number one seeds, and those are usually the four best teams in the country, and there's debate about who there's always a fifth or sixth team that, you know, well, this team should be in there. This year, nobody knows. Like, anybody's got a bet. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Give it a number. Just throw a number on the board. Just
Rand, pull them out of a hat. Come
it will be true madness this year, and I want us all filling out brackets. That includes you, Melissa. I want a bracket from you. Okay. I want one from Pam and everybody. It'll be fun. Trust me, it'll be fun. I think you'll actually have find a little. Have you ever done that before, Melissa?
I did it once when I worked at the school district in Tomah.
All right. You actually don't have to do it, but I'd love if you did. It'd be great if you did. I think it'd be fun.
Now that you know what a seed is.
I do. You explained it to me on Tuesday. Thank you. Yes. Can you explain it again? Because I forgot.
You got it. You got it. Definitely.
All right. We'll get you. We'll get you.
We'll get you all caught up.
Okay. Thanks.
New in theaters this month, Creed 3 opens wide this Friday. Looks good. Looks good. It also
is
looks...
Is it the band?
No, thank God. No, thank God.
That was great, by the way.
Yes, that's very good. Very well done. Michael B. Jordan and Jonathan Majors star in this, and both of them got in, like, Stallone shape. Like, they got in insane shape for this movie. They look humongous for this movie, and it looks like it should be pretty good. Scream 6 arrives on March 10th. Didn't even know that was coming out.
Me neither. No way. Wow.
I swear to you all, I'm just finding out now that that movie's coming out. And again, this is my wheelhouse. Wait, I'm supposed to know
six?
These things.
They're up to 6?
I didn't even know they were up to 6, to be honest.
I knew about 3.
I think I saw the first 3.
Yeah. Yep.
I think 3 was the last one I heard of. I only saw the first one. In high school.
Yes.
This has been going on for way too long, and they've only had 6. Look at what Fast and Furious has done that same time frame.
Yeah,
come
I actually
Scream.
Think. Yeah, they're behind. I agree with you, Melissa. Yeah. Catch
slacking.
Up. Catch up. They're slacking. Yeah. Vin Diesel has already flown in space. Like, come on.
Right. And it's horror. They got so many other options. Yeah, these guys are just dealing with cars.
Adam Driver's Dinosaur Space Epic 65 opens up on March 10th as well. That actually looks pretty good to me. I kind of like that.
Dinosaur Space Epic.
Yeah, it's a very kind of typical space story. You know, guy's in a ship. He's looking for another planet to help the human population survive way, way in the future.
Okay.
He ends up on a planet. I believe it's our same one, but in the past. So he's in the past with modern tech. With, like, lasers and all that stuff and everything. And it's Adam Driver who can't not go at a 10 with everything he does. Even on Saturday Night Live, he was, like, going, like, at a 10. He just can't help himself. He only knows one speed. I can relate to that. It looks actually pretty good to me. I think the concept is a little different.
Yeah, it is. Very much. Unless they do that one thing that they love to do with sci-fi things and say, oh, no, this was the past. And Adam Driver is God. No, sorry.
Yeah, or something like, or...
I will not accept that.
You blew it up, you filthy animals. I'm sorry. The original...
Planet of the Apes.
Just doesn't hold up. And that ending as a kid bothered me. It really felt like... It felt like the whole... It was a dream sequence kind of thing. I don't know. Spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen Planet of the Apes from 1963 or think 62 or something
or
like that.
Or whatever it was. Yeah, don't worry about it.
I should have said spoiler. I apologize. new DC movies coming out. Shazam! Fury of the Gods lands on December 17th. They are begging for that to be a hit. although, I don't think that it's going to phase the new guys too much. Because they've
it's
already
not
got
theirs.
It's not theirs. They got their own plan in place and everything. Mm-hmm. John Wick Chapter 4 opens on the 24th. I am excited about that. I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I'm just a sucker for action movies. And you put Keanu Reeves in anything, and I'm probably going to watch it, let alone those ones where I think they're very well done.
I've heard they're good. I haven't seen any of them.
Yeah, I like them. The first one, like a lot of these things, the first one is the real golden standard. Mm-hmm. That's if you're only going to watch one of them, that's the one to watch. But they're, I get a kick out of them. Mm-hmm. And
I do like Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, he pulls me into anything. And the new Dungeons & Dragons movie hits theaters March 31st. Unlike DC with Shazam, Dungeons & Dragons, this one, they're already winning with this. This has already got more hype and more ticket sales than they could have ever expected. So they're already in the, I wouldn't say they're in the black with it, or, you know, but they're doing well with this one already, which is kind of interesting.
This doesn't surprise me, though, honestly.
I'm excited. I'm hoping they finally do it right. I mean, they've done...
Right.
Some things in the past with it, and they never really went all in kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they did some stuff, I think, back in the early 2000s on sci-fi and stuff,
you know,
some kind of cheesy movies. They weren't bad, but I like the fact that they're actually putting some real talent behind it now.
They've got some nice actors in this.
Yeah.
And they've special effects, now everybody can afford them. You know, and they caught up with it. So the magic and all that stuff.
Dragons, that
people are drawn to those movies for, whether you're a Dungeons & Dragons player or not.
Yep.
Because I'm not, but I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yep.
I know yourself and others are, and the people that I'm hearing from that are happy, excited about this, are saying almost the same types of things you are. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of hope with this one. Yes. The trailers look good.
Yeah.
They've got the budget right.
But you get it right this time.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that now Hollywood is full of D&D fans helps a lot.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of really famous and powerful people that played it as kids, and they want to do right by it. So that's encouraging.
That's encouraging.
My dad couldn't like sci-fi and everything, but couldn't be farther away from this world. Mm-hmm. My dad was your typical athlete in high school. Mm-hmm. I remember him. They those old cardboard boxes that they put refrigerators in. I'm not exaggerating. At my nan and papa's old house in Naperville, they had a box like that filled with my dad's trophies, just filled with it. That's where he was always at. That's what he spent his time in high school. And if it wasn't that, it was with my mom. And doing that kind of thing. He asked me the other day, he's like, Jimmy, you ever play Dungeons & Dragons? Because the trailer was on and everything. I'm like, no, I didn't know anybody in high school that played it.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, me neither. Always wanted to. I'm like, really? And we had this interesting conversation about it and everything. He's like, oh, no, just seemed... To be fair, he doesn't know much about it. He knows you roll some dice and you get to play some imaginary character.
Right.
But that seemed kind of cool to him. And I just never would have guessed that from my father. I never would have seen that coming, but I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, now that it's...
Something new every day.
There's not a stigma attached to it like there was at one point. Then everyone can join in. Yeah.
On TV... Season 3 of The Mandalorian started yesterday.
It did start yesterday.
Dude, it was really good. I stayed up very late for that. I don't care. It was worth it. It was so worth it. It was good. Mel Brooks' History of the World Part 2 hits Hulu next Monday, almost 42 years after the original came out. In very typical Mel Brooks fashion.
Oh,
one of my favorite human beings that has ever walked the earth is Mel Brooks. But Mel Brooks is kind of known for, they come out with that Robin Hood movie with Costner and everything, and like 10 years later, he comes out with his parody. That's kind of Mel. He does that. He doesn't really, for him, it's not about timing. It's about getting it right.
Yeah.
And I respect that. I think that that's fine. The original History of the World was just a game changer to me. The cast, the concepts, the jokes he made. I cannot wait to see this. I'm not going into it expecting it to be like the first one.
No.
It was a different budget, different like time of the back then and everything. I do expect Mel Brooks level comedy though.
Yes,
because he has not lost a beat.
No,
he is still just as sharp as he's ever been. And think of that, comedy doesn't age well. Comedians don't age well.
Yep.
There's not a ton of comedians rocking the mic that were around when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them have retired and gone into acting or something. Comedy just doesn't age well, especially in this day and age where you've got comedians that are afraid to tour colleges now because they'll get canceled. So to think that Mel Brooks is still making comedies, I don't care if it's on Hulu or anything like that, that is awesome. That is incredible. And that may say more about his legacy than anything else he's done, that people are still paying Mel Brooks good money to create content.
It's pretty remarkable, the scope of his career, yeah.
The Voice also returns next Monday. Ted Lasso is back on the 15th. A lot of people excited about that. And Yellow Jackets and Succession both return on the 26th. And finally, the holidays. Purim starts next Monday. St. Patrick's Day is the 17th. It's on a Friday this year, which could get a little messy.
Less people calling into work.
There you go. Those are the two big ones. Next Tuesday is National Cereal Day. That's an awesome one. I love
it. Important day.
It's a very important
cereal
day.
Cereal is good.
Ranch Dressing Day. It's March 10th. Pi Day is the March 14th.
Of course.
Sort of.
There's a connection there.
Yeah, there's a connection.
The right word.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Crunchy Taco Day is the 21st.
I'll take it.
That's a great one.
Crunchy Tacos.
Yes, good stuff. Mm. National Puppy Day is the 23rd.
Hey.
And that's a Thursday,
it's
you guys.
It's a Thursday.
That's a Thursday.
Oh, man.
How awesome is that?
I hope she's got a puppy.
Yeah, that'd be great. And on March 25th, it is International Waffle Day. Not just national. It is International Waffle Day.
Nice.
That's a good one.
I love waffles.
Love me some waffles.
Waffles.
I had somebody ask me the other day, though, if I've had homemade waffles before. And I don't. No, I haven't. I guess I haven't really?
Really
thought about it before. But that might be something I'm going to try.
You do need a waffle iron.
Yeah, that is.
That's pretty essential. Yeah.
I like that though. Yeah. I like those. Those are cool.
But I do still have to make you my oatmeal waffles at some point, James.
I'm definitely on board for trying those. I have been trying some more. I don't know how you put it, but like greener stuff. Or just stuff that's different.
Foods.
Healthier foods. Notice I couldn't come up with the word healthier. My poor lexicon was desperate. What's a word that health word? What's that word that is good for
green.
Me?
That means good.
We're going to take a break. We're going to take a quick break. Yeah, definitely. We will come back with our National Day of Calendar and more fun. It's Melissa, Seth, and James taking you through your morning right here at WFHR. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you on the 2nd of March as we dive into our National Day of Calendar. And Seth, it's National Banana Cream Pie Day.
Yes. Delicious. And also good for throwing.
Yes.
Oh.
That's your go-to pie if you want to put a pie in someone's face.
Now, if I got it right, back way, way, way back in the day, that you would use whipped cream.
Basically just whatever, kind of like a cream thing.
But they stopped doing it because it would hurt people's eyes. So I forget if I've heard if they just started using real pies or what they started using as a replacement or just having people close their eyes before they did.
They probably should have done that. It was a cream pie of some sort. I don't know if anyone else there has taken a pie to the face. I have, but mine was just basically whipped cream. So I can't say that I've had the deliciousness of a banana cream pie crammed into my face.
Oh. Melissa, have you?
But someday you hope to.
Yes, I do. Yes. Because we all have to have goals.
I have not, but I think I should just do Seth the favor of smashing that banana cream pie in his face.
You'd enjoy that way too much.
I would.
Seth, I have to agree with her on this one. I think that is a noble thing that she's trying to do for you. You just said you wanted somebody to do this for you, and here Melissa's trying to help out.
Gotta sacrifice for each other.
She's a good radio sister. She is.
Yep.
She's
a good. I do what I can.
We actually when I first went out to California, was taking classes at UCLA. I took some comedy classes, and it was my first chance to learn comedy, which is not my wheelhouse, as anybody knows that listens to me on the air. One of the things that we did was actually taking pies to the face. Mm-hmm. We had to learn to pratfall, a lot of the old slapstick humor we were learning, because our teacher believed that it still had a place in comedy, and he turned out to be very right. Mm-hmm. We still see a lot of that stuff in comedy.
It's funny.
The pratfall was harder to learn because you got three tries and you instinctively want to brace. You instinctively want to put your arm down. You can't do it. You just got to let yourself fall, you know? So that was, to me, that was one of the more difficult ones. And the other students, it was difficult. But the pie in the face, the difficult part was, okay, you get the pie in the face and then you were supposed to deliver a punchline.
Yep.
And you've got all this stuff in your mouth, like coming in your mouth and everything and all that stuff. It's just messed up.
And you're supposed to keep a straight face, which is really hard to do when you have a pie in the face.
Literally, I'd have to be being paid to have that happen again. It was such a uncomfortable, weird feeling, and my nose still hurts.
Yep.
The person that was doing it that he chose for me to do it happened to be a kid that got a scholarship on the UCLA basketball team. So,
oh no!
Yeah. So
mush.
This kid wants to try comedy and everything. So. That was funny. He's actually a really good guy. He had a good
oomph behind it.
Yeah. National Read Across America Day.
Ooh.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's a great one. If you have little ones around you, it's a great day to read to them or read with them. If it's been a while since you've cracked open that book of yours that you've had that the same tag in it forever, James, it might be a good idea to do it tonight. That day is a good day for it. There are so many ways to read now with technology making it easy to carry a book with you no matter where you go, thanks to the internet. Some people just cannot forget the feel and smell of a book in their hand and prefer to read their books physically. So grab your favorite and take time to enjoy a good book today. I wouldn't tell people how to read. It's all up to you if you want to read off a tablet, or I don't know if people are still using Nooks or anything like that. But that, I know Melissa and I have touched on this. I prefer a book. I like the book. I like the feel. I like the smell. And I really like grabbing ones from the library. As much as I love having my own personal book. Mm-hmm. There's something about grabbing a book from a library and knowing others have read this book and the journey that the book it's had, let alone the journey you're about to go on from what's in the book.
Mm-hmm. I think it brings us together.
Yeah.
But any way you read is reading. Even if it's, you know, audiobooks are reading too.
Mm-hmm.
And I bounce between all three.
It's been a fun debate we brought this up almost a year ago, I want to say, about does listening to an audiobook count as reading? And mm-hmm. I think we all can agree that it did. But I've heard from listeners since about it. Like, most agree. Some have said, I don't know. And, you know, that kind of I just think it's interesting that that's kind of a topic that is carried on.
Now, it can be more difficult for some people, I think, to do an audiobook because they have trouble concentrating. And I could see why that would kind of make them think, that's not really reading for me, because I need to be able to comprehend, you know, pay attention to what I'm reading instead of just kind of listening to it.
I can listen.
Go ahead, James.
I can listen to an audio documentary. I can't listen to an audio book. If it's documentary or if it's a biography, I can read that. Mm-hmm. I don't find myself having to go, oh, what happened to him when he was 13? You know, right. I don't have to seem to go back. In the story, I've always had to. I'm not a good reader. I have to go back and reread things. It's a nightmare for me to try to listen to audiobooks.
I get that. Yeah.
Reading is reading. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, Melissa?
I was going to say something similar. It depends on the type of book. If it's something heavy that you really need to focus on to comprehend, or also where you're at in your day or where you're at mentally.
For sure.
There are some days where I can't focus on an audiobook, and I just need to turn on music. But then there are other days where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to put on this audiobook because it can just kind of play in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll pick up bits and pieces wherever I choose to. You know, there are, especially if it's a book I've read before, that's the best. It's kind of like having a TV show on in the background.
Yeah. And it's National Book Day, coinciding with this. That's a good day to have it, as we're all wanting to read today.
That's right. Dovetails nicely.
I think it's also a good day to, I don't know if you're going to be able to reread your favorite book, but maybe if you don't own a copy of your favorite book, today's a good day to buy one. Maybe there's a recent book that you enjoyed that you checked out at the library or something like that. Maybe it's a good day to purchase one. I think of this with journalism a lot. Whenever I have a chance, I try to buy newspapers. What does my couple of bucks do? I don't know. Probably not much at all. But it actually helps me sleep a little bit better trying to help journalism, because that's what I'm thinking of with newspapers. I'm thinking of journalism. Mm-hmm. Think of the similar thing with books. When you purchase a book, you are helping authors, and we are hopefully showing young authors that this is still a field we value. We do not want to run out of writers, and I don't think there's necessarily a danger to that, but I don't want to play defense on that either. I'd rather play offense. Let's make sure that we're buying books and we're still making use of this field.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, and checking books out from the library, and that includes audiobooks through a Libby app or whatever audio you use, because we need to keep libraries alive too.
Oh yes,
well said. It's also Dr. Seuss Day.
Read a Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah. Dr. Seuss
fish, blue fish.
It's a full 24 hours to make a mess with the Cat in the Hat, dance around with the fox in socks, and hear a who with Horton. Count the red and blue fish, help the Grinch see the error of his ways, and listen to Sam I Am's friend complain about his dish of green eggs and ham. The ungrateful hairball.
Hey, he came around in the end.
He came around.
Come on.
Theodore Seuss Geisel, commonly known by his pen name Dr. Seuss, was a writer, poet, and cartoonist, though best known as a children's author. He released a whopping 46 books for kids out there.
46? Wow, I didn't realize it was that many. Holy cow.
Back when I was a kid, we did have a couple of Dr. Seuss books. We didn't have a lot of books growing up, but we did have a couple of those. They're really old. They're actually my mom's books or whatever. And I remember her reading them to me, and I had to go back and ask her if I was remembering this right. But there were like some things in there that didn't age very well. And this is like in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. And I remember my mother telling me different things about that. Mm-hmm. I just recently asked her about this. I want to say a couple couple months ago when they were talking, when this was in the news about Dr. Seuss books and some of the language, some of the context in them.
Mm-hmm.
For her, she just kind of like corrected it for me while we were sitting there, and then we moved on.
Yep.
And I think that that had a good impact on me. Mm-hmm. I don't think we, there are certain things that not only have they not aged well, they just don't, they don't make any sense to do anymore. But I think Huckleberry Finn, I think, is a good example. I think books like this are a good example. I actually think the opposite of people not reading these books. I think people should read these books and then have some context with them. Mm-hmm. Hey, we don't use these words anymore. Hey, we don't draw people that way anymore.
Yep, 100%.
You know, if we... there's certain things that I don't think we need hanging around. You know, history is not going to be forgotten. We have this thing called the internet that doesn't forget a single thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't matter if you get rid of books, Florida.
You can try to whitewash history as much as you want. It is not going to change history.
Nope.
It still is what it is. As much as fake news and you know, misinformation blows up nowadays, fact is still fact. Mm-hmm. And the more we own history, the more we can take pride in that history. Because it's all of ours. It's our collective human history. Mm-hmm. Whether we're talking about American history, European history, white people history, black people history, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's all our history. Mm-hmm. And all of it we have a foot in, we have a place in. And the more we own these things, the more that we're going to be able to, oh, okay, well, we learn from this. If we completely ignore something, then what are we going to learn from it? Those that ignore the Holocaust, that they're not going to learn that lesson. If you don't learn from slavery, you're not going to learn from that lesson.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with owning these things. And I think that if you really take pride in America, if you're a true American, to me, in my book, you own these things. If you don't, that takes a knockoff for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you're not still an American, but if you can't own the past, if you can't own these things, you're not being true to our country, true to our forefathers, and true to the future of America.
Mm-hmm.
To me,
and what is this? Go ahead, James.
The most American thing you can do is love your country, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Love is loving something unconditional, loving something completely. It's scars, it's bumps, it's bruises. When you wake up with it in the morning and it's got bad breath, like all of these things, that's love. That's what love is. Love is not just when things are going good. Love
exactly.
is love through the hard times and the bad times. That's what a real American is. That's what do we talk about? Pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps and things like that. It's not just a phrase to me. That means, okay, we're going to go through the muck and grime. We're going to go through America's past. Hey, not everything was perfect. Guess what? Every other country in the world, same thing. Every country's got this on their hands. We're not alone. In fact, we're more like other people, us showing how much more alike we are.
Mm-hmm.
Own the past.
Well, and that's the important thing, too, because if we don't learn from history, we are doomed to repeat it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, but there's hints of it happening. So people need to pay attention and learn from what happened in the past so we don't repeat it in the future. Because guess what? It wasn't great then, and it's not going to be great now.
What's partially what's funny to me, you know, you take any political leader right now and that is trying to do something. I'll use George DeSantis as an example because he's, you know, as Melissa kind of touched on, Florida is banning books and doing a lot of this and trying to, quote unquote, get Americans to love their country and all these things and stuff like that. It doesn't make any sense. Especially, hey, George, weren't you raised in the same school system as the rest of us?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you go to the same school system as the rest of us? And how are we supposed to believe you or trust you if you were raised on this same school system and everything that's hurting our country? Well, then I think we probably shouldn't vote you in. We probably shouldn't even have you as a governor. And I don't know. We may have to rethink all of this stuff and everything. If that's the way we're going to do it, we may only be able to have kids do this now. which, hey,
maybe they'll do a better job.
we've tried everything else. I mean, maybe we need to reverse it. You can't be president if you're over 34. Yeah, I don't know. And it is National Old Stuff Day.
All right.
All you antique lovers out there.
Mm-hmm.
I love old stuff. I love antiques. I like I've never been antique shopping or been to an antique store, but I want to. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
It's cool. Fun to poke through an antique store because you just never know what you're going to find.
You never know what you'll find. Tickle your fancy.
And finally, it is International Rescue Cat Day.
Nice.
It's perfect. A pretty darn good one, and especially when we got our friends from the Humane Society coming in today. That
Indeed.
Is very fitting. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
This is, as Madison has told us, this is a high season for cats that they have over there at the shelter. If you are looking for a furry friend, we do encourage you to reach out to our friends at the Southwood County Humane Society. You can do that by going to SWCHS.com, SWCHS.com. Otherwise, visit their Facebook page, and you can always give them a call at 715-423-0505. We will get to Melissa's news. We'll come back with some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show, everybody. Thursday here, Friday Eve, everybody. Melissa and James with you. Seth is no longer with us now because Seth put Amadeus in the...
How did I know you were going to hate this, James?
I should say hate. I don't hate it. I wouldn't say I hate it. When you're a kid...
It's the word almost like hate.
Yes. It's whatever that is.
Whatever it is.
It was just one of those. It just felt like such a. I don't like lazy like entertainment. Things that seem so easy. And nothing against Falco and his incredible hit history. But yeah, no.
He was big in Austria.
He was so, huge. Yeah. He was huge. Yeah. Did he have two hits or just the one hit?
In the United States, he only had the one.
Okay.
But he's mostly did. To be fair, he did most of his singing in German.
Yeah.
So he was pretty big in Germany and in the German speaking areas. Yeah.
And if you're going to have a thing labeled 80s bumpers, you have to have Amadeus in there. I get it. I do get it. You're fired. But
much
I get
more,
it.
Yes. Can't get much more 80s than that.
Here's an interesting story, everybody, and maybe every 12-year-old's least favorite story. TikTok just announced they'll start limiting kids to 1 hour of viewing per day.
Wow.
They're rolling it out over the next few weeks, so anyone under 18 can't mindlessly scroll through the videos for more than 60 minutes anymore. After the first hour, kids 12 and under won't be able to keep using it unless a parent or guardian punches in a code to extend viewing by 30 more minutes.
Ah.
Kids 13 and up can enter their own code, but they'll still get the alerts, so they'll have to actively choose to keep scrolling. It'll become the default for all under 18 accounts, not just new ones.
Okay.
Parents will, it's not saying if you have to go in, like if you already have a account, if you have to go in and change it. I was curious about that. If you have to set this up yourself, you know?
Right.
It does sound like if you're new to it, though, it's already built in.
Okay.
Parents will also be fed more info about how much time their kids spend on there, and you'll be able to customize your kids' limit for different days. Adults can opt in, too, and get the alerts for themselves if they want. TikTok says they're doing it because they care. Sorry. I could do that full straight face. But they might really just be trying to get the feds off their back. Well, yep, that's more
that's
of like
probably.
That. That's more of it.
Probably,
yeah. I didn't see them doing this when parents were worrying about this. Once the government started sniffing around, yeah, I was no, we can act right. We'll be good. We'll be good.
Well, yeah.
You get your hand caught in the cookie jar, all of a sudden you pull it out. Oh, no, I'll be good. No, you can trust me with the cookies. You can trust me. The U.S. has been talking about banning the app completely because it's a Chinese company. They're worried China is using it to spy on us, steal our info, or maybe even feed kids endless dance videos to, dumb us down or something like that. There's all kinds of things that people are worrying about. Jeez. Congress passed a law in December to ban the app on government-issued phones. This week, the White House gave all government agencies 30 days to comply.
Okay.
This is interesting, you know. I think there's a lot of layers to this one. And I'll say admit right away, I'm not a TikTok user or anything like that. Don't have that app and stuff. But I think the first off, I think getting out of the way, maybe there's one or two people at TikTok that do care about this, but they're not doing this because they care. They're doing this because they're trying to get ahead of things and all that. And it's a smart business move.
Right.
It's a way to try to keep your app and keep it around as long as possible. I've heard, and I don't think you've heard any of this officially from anybody at TikTok, but I've heard they're basically just trying to hang on as long as they can. They know that the end is coming. They're just going to try to get as much as they can out of this while they can. I don't know if that's true or not. That is just some loose reporting that is being done, and it's not even being done from a source. I think the other part of this, too, that's interesting to me is the fear of China spying on us. We've seen stories about this recently with the weather balloon and these kind of things. I'm not a foolish person, and I've studied the spy game quite a bit, especially World War II and the First World War. The spy game has always been around. It's been around since the Civil War, ages ago and stuff, and it always will be. There will always be spies and this kind of thing. But it's also something. How much time do you think our government has to spy on every other country in the world? Or let's just say Russia and China. And let's look at that in the reverse. How much time do you think Russia and China have to spy on us? How many resources do you genuinely think that they have to put into this? Both those countries were hit very hard by the pandemic, much harder than we were as a country in many ways. Not in all ways, but in many ways. I'm not saying that it's not impossible. I'm asking you to... If you're going to use your imagination, because that's what you're doing with this. You're using your imagination. You have no facts. We have no facts on this. We don't know for certain that any of this is going on. We only assume and theorize that it is. So if we're going to be doing that, we're going to be using our imaginations. I ask you to use your imagination a little bit farther and think about, put yourself in those shoes of the governments of those countries or in the dictatorship, I should say, in those two countries, and think how much time and how much energy and resources they genuinely have to create an app just to spy on kids. And that's the other part of this, too, that I worry about. They're putting all the onus on the children. How much info do you think kids necessarily have as far as, like, things that if this is going on and they are spying on us, I'm going to find out what American teenagers like. I think you can go on any social media app or you can look at the sales of this or this or this and figure that out. It doesn't take rocket science to figure that part out. If you're doing it to find out government information and everything like that, well, then maybe we should be focusing on adults with TikTok. What are we doing to the kids like this for? If that's where all this is stemming from, if it's stemming from the idea, oh, I don't want my kid on any app for too long, okay, then that's a whole different conversation, and I'm listening to that. But I'm not taking the spy game lightly or anything like that. If anything, I'm approaching it with facts, with seriousness. Let's focus our energy. Let's be smart about this. You don't have to do a whole lot of digging in American history or any history throughout the whole world, especially Austria and Germany during World War II. They were horrible at this because all they did was this, what we're doing right now, theorizing and throwing hypothesis out there and having a madman with no imagination running things. Like, that what you want? Like, let's be smart about this. I'm not saying put your head in the sand and act like this doesn't happen. But be calculated. Be smart about it. Don't just jump on a little headline and all, oh, this is happening. The sky is falling. Like, you do that over every single thing. If something bad does happen, where's your energy going to be? Be smart about this.
And how many parents do you think are just going to give their kids the code?
Yep.
Probably. Yeah.
I think you're right on that one, Mel. But take a break. We'll come back and we'll have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show, everyone. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We'll take it to the top of the hour, then we'll get to some CBS News, get you an update from them. Afterwards, we're going to talk live and direct with our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, let you know what Mother Nature has in store for you. And after we're talking with, I believe, Paul will be joining us today. After we're done talking with Paul, Melissa, Seth, and I are going to get into America's Strangest State Laws.
Part two.
Yes, part two. We're going state by state and getting into some of those and having some fun with it, too.
All right.
Right now, we're talking Tooth Fairy. If you think inflation is bad, just be happy you're not the Tooth Fairy. Payouts for teeth just hit an all-time high, and now the Tooth Fairy can't go out and pick up a tooth and a dozen eggs for $10 anymore.
Jeez. Oh, man.
Delta Dental's 25th annual Tooth Fairy poll just came out, and they found the average American is now spending $6.23 per tooth.
Wow.
That's up 87 cents from last year and $2.20 from 3 years ago pre-pandemic.
Whoa.
As a side note, I love the idea of a new parent. And they want to get this right so bad. So under the pillow, yeah, they put $6.23.
Exactly.
They put the exact amount down there. I like that. Like, you're waking up as a kid with change in your hair. Like, what did you do here, Dad? Kids in the South get the biggest payouts at $6.59 per tooth. Kids out west are next at $6.25, then the Northeast at $6.14, and yep, you guessed it, the Midwest is the lowest, of course, at $5.63. Over the past 25...
Who's putting pennies under pillows?
Yeah.
Weird people.
Over the past 25 years, the average Tooth Fairy payout has surged 379% from $1.30 to $6.23 per tooth. At this rate, wow, by 2048, the Tooth Fairy will be leaving a whopping $30 under the pillow for a single tooth.
Oh, my goodness.
I hope that the Tooth Fairy has a good investment scheme.
Mm. Right.
To keep up with inflation.
What kind of pension plan do they got going on?
Exactly.
Jeepers.
How am I going to keep up? What are these kids?
Looking into this, I have noticed that the Tooth Fairy is looking for workers, like looking for other part-time workers to help out with this job. So
what would they be called?
Yeah.
Tooth Fairylets?
Yeah. Toothettes? Yeah.
Toothettes?
Maybe Toothettes.
Don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
Pixies.
Pixies. Sprites. Yeah. I don't know.
Tooth Pixies.
Boy.
You want Tooth Pixies? Oh, my God.
I love it.
You just pulled a James. Pulled a James right there.
That was great. That was great. That was a good one. That was. I almost wish we could just go right to the top of the hour with that.
Like, man.
Just end the segment on that. That was good.
Could have thought about that for a year and not come up with it.
Should parents... I mean, the Tooth Fairy. Should the Tooth Fairy be approaching this maybe differently, and maybe money isn't the thing that we should be leaving? Maybe there's something else we should be leaving under there. And I'm not saying a toothbrush. I don't mean something necessarily. I understand that's where a lot of us want to go with it and everything, but I still want this to be fun for kids.
Right.
Well, it probably shouldn't be candy.
Yes,
no,
that's a good idea.
Let's do that.
Although, if you're going to give your kids candy when they're going to lose their teeth anyway, is the time to do it. But I agree with you, Melissa. I do agree with you, though. I do agree. But I don't think that this is a bad idea. This may be a fun, creative opportunity for parents out there to maybe try something different.
Yeah.
Coupons.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
My dad did something kind of like that with the IOU thing and stuff.
Yeah, right. These are cool.
Yeah.
That's the opposite of a coupon, James.
It is, but I'll say this. As a kid, and I heard other kids talking about getting a quarter or a 50-cent piece or whatever, I felt unique. I felt different. I didn't know that it was, you know, we were poor. I didn't necessarily understand that. It was more of like, it was just something different than the other
cool
kids.
There was something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of every kid going to, you know, a class that day and talking about getting a dollar or $6 or whatever, say, oh, I got this. I got that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Man, my kids' teeth aren't worth that much.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, Seth.
No, sorry.
No.
The Tooth Fairy is very Midwestern here. So.
Yeah.
Very thrifty.
That's interesting to me, too, because so much of this is we're doing what our parents did and the parents before that and all that and everything. And we'll let my parents a 50-cent piece, that kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
So when my were kids, that's what we did. Mm-hmm. You know? So how this inflation jump happened, I'm not necessarily sure. Yeah. Like the kids, a dollar and $6 to a kid is not a gigantic difference.
See, I figured it out. It's because they made the reference to eggs there and the inflation in eggs. Mm-hmm. It's because the Tooth Fairy has a monopoly. That's what it is. Just like the eggs that most people buy, it's a monopoly. Yep. So that's why the price keeps going up.
Knew it.
We figured it out.
So there was,
although I don't know what the Tooth Fairy gets out of it. I mean, what does the Tooth Fairy do with the teeth?
I'm not sure. I want to know.
Where's the magic, people?
Weird power resource.
It seems very
like
renewable.
You didn't realize
though.
You had that much power in your mouth.
Yeah. Well, sort of. Take a break.
come
avoid
back.
Avoid that, yeah.
You're going to definitely get out of the way on that one. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.